بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد Respected علماء الكرام elders beloved brothers in Islam There are certain incidents which translate for us the mizaj and the temperament of Islam The mafhum of the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Al-khayru kathir The avenues of doing good of earning the pleasure and reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are many and sometimes we have an option in front of us two or three different good deeds which we can do Do we just indiscriminately choose one? Or are there certain principles which are attached to this? With regards to that, we find that there has to be a certain level of tafakku, understanding of deen. For example, in the month of Ramadan, we are encouraged to spend, All the time we are supposed to be developing this quality of generosity, but Sahaba described Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during the month of Ramadan that ajwad min ar-rih al-mursala. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to be more generous than a blowing wind. Now when it comes to spending also there are different avenues of spending. Sometimes a person's financial affairs are such that we've usurped the rights of others. There are certain wajib, compulsory hukuk and rights of others upon us. For example, if you borrowed money from somebody, you haven't paid him back. There was some shady business deal where you usurped the rights of somebody. Or as we see nowadays in many parts of the Muslim world, when it comes to the distribution of inheritance, Very, very often we find the female relatives are deprived of their share. Lion's share of the late father or mother's estate goes to the brothers. And when the sisters ask for their share, then the brothers become very, very upset. And what's wrong with you? How can you even ask? The wealth of a mayyit The wealth of a person who passes away, in fact, even before he passes away, if the person enters into what is called maradul wafat, that terminal illness which led to his death, then automatically at that time already, according to the Shariat, his estate gets distributed according to the laws of Shariat. What is due to the females is due to them. What is due to the males is due to them. There is no ihsan one upon the other. You'll find many, many instances. Somebody has done his sister down, done his female relative down. Yet the same person is spending in sadaqah, spending in building a masjid, spending in assisting the poor and the needy. So like we said, the avenues are many, but What is obligatory upon you has to take precedence. Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimullah used to say that I prefer returning one dirham that is obligatory upon me. Somebody's haq was upon me. It is better for me to give that one dirham back to the person than spending 600,000 dirham in charity. This is where unfortunately it is observed very, very often. Person has financially usurped the rights of people, yet the same person, mashallah, is involved in building masjids, involved in other charitable causes, no problem. Earn the pleasure which Allah Ta'ala has kept, earn the reward, but first fulfill your wajib financial obligation. like I said, mizaj and temperament of Shariat. For example, when even it comes to ibadat, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu observes that somebody is not there for Fajr Salah. And from this we learn an important lesson. Those who are our associates, those who are with us, or we have a relationship with, we should be cognizant. If they are missing from Salah for whatever reason, become worried about them. And then it's not just the Tabligh Jamaat that says you must go and visit, go to the houses, knock on the doors. This is mustanbat, taken directly from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Umar notices someone wasn't there for Fajr, he goes to the house of that person. Goes and makes mulaqat, knocks the door, asks the mother of that sahabi that where was he at the time of Fajr? Why is he not there for Fajr? So she says he was up for ibadat the whole night, tahajjud, the whole night. And just before Fajr, sleep overtook him, as a result of which he missed his Fajr Salah. So to this Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala who said it would have been better if he slept the whole night. If he slept the whole night, in other words, left out the voluntary tahajjud, but the farz obligatory Fajr, he was there in the masjid. So for that there has to be a certain amount of knowledge in the way we do things. This is why we are given this encouragement, take the advice of ulama, etc. So in that, my respected brothers, one principle of Shariat is that if there is any act of ibadat, whether financial or physical, that is specific to a certain place or a certain time, then that particular act of ibadat will take precedence over other avenues. I've given this example many times. For example, you are in the Haram of Makkah. Now in the Haram of Makkah, there is one act of nafil ibadat that doesn't take place anywhere else in the world, and that is tawaf. So this is why we are advised. You've got an option. You can read Quran, you can make Allah's zikr, or you can go in tawaf. Quran, Allah's zikr, that you can do in Masjid al-Hilal also. You can do it from where you come. Tawaf, you cannot do in your local masjid. You can only do in that masjid. So always, when you have a choice, what is specific to a place or time will take preference. First, obviously, that which is obligatory, as we mentioned. We are talking about when it is nafil, then a few, then we see what is the time and where we are. For example, spending in charity. One is your zakat, which is compulsory. Over and above the zakat, before you give any nafil charity, you have to ensure that your zakat is fully discharged. You don't give nafil charity at the expense of zakat. Your example will be like somebody at the time of Zohar who came into the mosque, read his 4 rakat sunnat of Zohar, and when the imam stood up to read the farz of Zohar, he walks out. So it's logical that fulfill that which is obligatory first. If we have not discharged our zakat, there is no question of spending in other nafil avenues of charity. This is when a person has minimal understanding of deen. Because that farz obligation by you spending in nafil is not discharged. You will have to answer Allah Ta'ala. On the same topic, there are certain over and above the farz, there are certain voluntary avenues of charity which are specific to this period. For example, feeding the fasting person at the time of iftar. This, because it is specific to this period, if you only got 10 rand and either you're going to spend the 10 rand in some, you only got that much to spend in nafil, you will give preference to this. Why? Because after Ramadan, this avenue is no more there. So in the same way, under that topic of spending, there is one type of spending which is very specific to the latter part of Ramadan. one or two ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to that. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sadaqat al-fitr tuhratan lis-sa'im min al-laghwi wal-rafath wa tu'matan lil-masakin faman addaha qabla as-salah fahiya zakatun maqbula وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهُوَ صَدَقَةٌ مِّنَ الصَّدَقَةِ. The riwayat of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made compulsory upon us. Farada Rasulullah. That is why ulama say, Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib. Sadaqatul Fitr is wajib. It's compulsory. Upon those who have to discharge zakat, if you are in a position where zakat is obligatory upon you, I'm not going into detail masail. But if you are in a situation where zakat is obligatory upon you, then sadaqatul fitr is also obligatory upon you. The difference, there's no zakat on minors, those who are not baligh. But the sadaqatul fitr, if you are your children who are minors, and you can afford, you have to pay sadaqatul fitr for them also. The beauty of the sadaqah, as mentioned in this hadith, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordained upon us sadaqatul fitr as a means of purifying our fast from unnecessary speech, lagh, rafath, shameless speech, swear words, saying things that we should not have said. The means of getting forgiveness for that and purifying the fast from that. Allah Ta'ala will use the sadaqah and charity as a means of wiping away those sins. Second benefit mentioned in this hadith, tu'matan lil masakin. It is a means of feeding the poor, letting them also enjoy the day of Eid. Like I said, this sadaqah is specific to this period. That is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who discharges it before the Eid Salah, then it is maqbula, zakatum maqbula, accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If not discharged by the Eid Salah, and you pay it afterwards, you still have to pay it. Why? Because the obligation is not fulfilled. But it will be counted as just one charity from amongst other charities. In other words, all these special benefits that Rasulullah doesn't mention, expiation of unnecessary speech, etc., that would have occurred during your fast, that benefit you won't get. And obviously making the day of Eid a day of happiness for the poor also, so that you can bring alive the spirit of the brotherhood of Islam, that benefit also will be lost. That is why in one riwayat it comes, فَلَا يَحْضُرَنَّ مُسَلَّانَا. If you have not paid your sadaqatul fitr, don't even come to the Eidgah. Such a severe warning is given to us. The riwayat of Jarir radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, صَوْمُ شَهْرِ رَمَضَان مُعَلَّقٌ بَيْنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يُرْفَعُ إِلَّا بِزَكَاةِ الْفِطْرِ. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jarir radiallahu ta'ala says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the fast of the month of Ramadan remains suspended between the heavens and the earth. It is only when you discharge your sadaqatul fitr that it rises up to Allah. So this is not something that we should take lightly. If we have not discharged our sadaqatul fitr, obviously from the masjid side, the announcement has already been made that no further sadaqatul fitr will be accepted here, because obviously the time limit to discharge it before Eid Salah is very limited. So if you take on the amanat, it's going to be difficult. But that doesn't stop us. If up till now we haven't done it, find the poor yourself, but make sure your sadaqatul fitr is discharged. There's a lot of notices as to what the minimum amount, etc. is. We should try and spend over and above the minimum amount. Another form of ibadat, which is specific to this period that we are approaching, the end of the month of Ramadan and the starting of the month of Shawwal. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an Abi Ayyub radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من صام رمضان ثم أتبعه ستا من شوال كان كصيام الدهر. There is one principle in Shariat: من جاء بالحسنة فله عشر أمثالها. There is no limit to Allah's compassion and kindness. So Allah Ta'ala says, when you do one good deed, minimum, we give you 10 times the reward. Minimum. You can go many times more, obviously, depending on the kayfiyat and the quality of the amal. But minimum, dastur principle, do one, Allah gives you 10. This is why we encouraged to give 3 days a month in tabligh. And inshallah, it be written like you gave your whole life in the path of Allah. Because 3 multiplied by 10, as if the whole month is spent in the path of Allah. So in the same way, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, Ramadan is either 29 or 30 days. Sometimes depending on the sighting of the moon. If you multiply that by 10, it comes to 300. Islamic calendar is 355. The solar calendar 365. So if you apply this principle, what does Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? That person who fasts in the month of Ramadan, then follows it with 6 fasts in Shawwal. Kana ka siyami dahar, it is as if he fasted for the whole year. It is as if he fasted for the whole year. Challenge that faces us is that mashallah, in Ramadan, Allah ties the shayateen up. So they automatically, you notice, even a person with weak iman, becomes easy for him to fast. Outside Ramadan, many of us, illa mashallah, there are those, mashallah, that practice on this very, very great sunnah of fasting throughout the year. But the rest of us, we think 10 times, whether I should be fasting, shouldn't be fasting, suddenly starts becoming difficult, etc. But this is a special amal of the month of Shawwal. The 6 fasts of Shawwal. Many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are there. And clearly enunciated in the hadith that on this principle, man jaa bil hasana falahu ashru amthaliha. Give Allah one, He'll give you 10. Minimum. You fasted in Ramadan. Now try and keep the 6 fasts of Shawwal. And the benefits of it, ulama ikram have mentioned a few. Obviously with time constraints, it's a Sunday, we're taking a few more minutes. But we want to make muzakara of a few of the benefits that we will find, inshallah, if we exert ourselves a little bit and try and bring alive the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First benefit we already mentioned, that yastakmilu biha ajra siyamid dahr kulliha. Ulama say a person will get the reward as if he fasted for the whole year. Great opportunity Allah Ta'ala is giving us, the tawfeel of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Second benefit which ulama ikram mentioned, this is a principle of Shariat we find in many, many ahadith. The Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mafhum of the hadith is that the nafil and sunnat salah that you read on the day of judgment, any shortage that was there in your farz salah, obviously in the manner in which you read it, the kayfiyat and quality of the salah. Today our attention is everywhere else but in the salah. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Aswa'un nasi sariqatan." He said, the worst thief of my ummah is the one who steals from his salah. What was he referring to? Where there's no khushu and khudu, there's concentration in that salah. He said, sometimes you'll make salah, somebody will get the full reward, somebody will get 9th, 10th, 8th, 10th, 7th, 10th, 6th, 10th, many ahadith. And like that we find in hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, these deficiencies that were there in the fard, Allah on the day of judgment will fill up those deficiencies through the nawafil. So in the same way, the deficiencies that were there in our first fast of Ramadan through the sixth fast of Shawwal and other Nawafil and Sunnat fast that we keep, the deficiencies in our fara'id, inshallah, will be fulfilled through this. Another benefit which ulama ikram mentioned, as we know in hadith, the streets on the day of Eid will be lined with malaika that will come down. Obviously, no one, the malaika are not going to come down with some parchi on it written there, Yusuf, Muhammad, Imran, whoever, Ramadan was accepted. Fast was accepted, not accepted. Azma Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Har Amal ka juzwe akhir. The closing chapter of every action should have two kayfiyat. There should be two kayfiyat within us at the end of every action. One is i'tirafu at-taqsir, from the bottom of the heart, talk to Allah and tell Allah, Ya Allah, I did not fulfill this amal the way I was supposed to fulfill it. So ask Allah for forgiveness. And the second, khawfur rad, the fear that the action wasn't accepted. What is the way to get our action accepted, or to find out if it was accepted? Ulama say, thawabul hasana, al hasanatu ba'daha. The proof that the good deed that you did was accepted is if you follow it up with another good deed. Conversely, if you follow your good deed up with sin and transgression, it is an indication that it was rejected. Allah protect us. That is why they say that inshallah, if we push ourselves to fast in Shawwal, it is with Allah's tawfiq, and it is a sign. Allah gave you the tawfiq to follow the good deeds of Ramadan with nafil fast in Shawwal. This is a sign that inshallah your fast of Ramadan was accepted by Allah. So this is why we should make a special effort. It's not compulsory, but highly encouraged. We should make a special effort to try to keep the fast of Shawwal. Another benefit which ulama ikram mentioned, once Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was walking, so he saw one person, this man had his hands raised in dua. What dua he was making? Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Oh Allah, make me of the few. Oh Allah, make me of the few. Umar got upset, he reprimanded this man. What kind of dua is this? What is this? Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel. Oh Allah, make me of the few. He says, Umar, Allah says in the Quran, Allah complains in the Quran, i'amalu ala Dawuda shukra. Make amali shukr. Practically show your gratitude to me. And then Allah complains, qaleelum min ibadiya shakur. Very few of my slaves will make shukr. So Allahumma ja'alni min al-qaleel, make me of those few who make your shukr. This is the dua that this man was making. And it's a reality. Today, even when we make shukr for dunya. A lot of times you go in Gush, you meet one businessman, you ask him, how's things going? Allah's lakh shukr. Allah's lakh shukr. What he means? Means the tills are ringing. So Allah's lakh shukr. Dunya got no value. Yes, make Allah shukr. But more than the shukr of dunya, you're supposed to make shukr of deen. Allah gave you Ramadan. Allah gave you tawfiq to fast in Ramadan. Allah announces His maghfirat and forgiveness for you in Ramadan. And what can be greater than Allah's maghfirat? Aisha radiallahu anha sees that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is in tahajjud salah so long that his mubarak feet swell. She starts crying to see how he's exerting himself. And she says, Lima falta hada ya Rasulallah. Why are you doing this? Why are you finishing yourself like this? Allah has already forgiven you. You are the beloved of Allah. So what does he say? She says, Allah has forgiven you. Allah already made your maghfirat. What does my Nabi say? Afala akuna abdan shakura Aisha. Shouldn't I be making shukr to Allah? Shouldn't I be showing Allah my gratitude that He made my maghfirat? So this amal of fasting is actually shukr to Allah Ta'ala for the fast of Ramadan. It is actually shukr to Allah Ta'ala that Allah made our maghfirat. That Allah forgave our sins in Ramadan. We should have that one good guman. And with that, from the bottom of our heart, show our gratitude to Allah Ta'ala. And one more, like that there are other muta'addid, many, many benefits and fawaid that ulama have mentioned and extracted. But one more benefit, which we will mention, and in that is a great, very, very subtle message for us. Many of us, Allah forgive us, we are what we call seasonal Muslims. Somebody came to Bishr Hafi, came to Shibli, rahimahullah, and they asked him one question, Ayyuma afdal? Rajab am Shaban? You know, this is a very, actually, last night we touched on this questions that people come with. Lot of people, sometimes we ask questions for the wrong intention. Maulana, what is afzal? What is more virtuous? Why the man is asking? Because he wants to leave the other thing out. And that is not a basis. Somebody came to Imam Wahanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, and they asked him that, Hazrat, tell me, when I'm bathing in the river or the pond, is it more virtuous for my back to be facing the Qibla or my chest to be facing the Qibla? So Imam Sahib told him, bhai, you rather face your clothing, because if somebody steals it, you're going to be in trouble. In other words, don't worry too much about this afzal, afzal, afzal. So somebody came to Shibli and they asked him, is Rajab more afzal or Shaban more afzal? He said, bhai, kun rahbaniyan, be a devoted slave of Allah 12 months of the year. Don't be a Rajabi Muslim and a Shabani Muslim like today. Like, no, today Allah forgive us. There are many people that are Ramadan Musallis. There are many people that are. I'm not making this up or accusing anybody. But how many of us there are? What percentage will the number of Musallis in the masjid drop after Ramadan? Now what does it mean? That we were Musallis of Ramadan? We're going to worship, make 5 times salah in Ramadan. Worship Allah in Ramadan. Allah didn't give you Ramadan so that you only worship Allah in Ramadan. The air you are breathing, the food you are eating, the countless ni'mats, Allah doesn't only give you in Ramadan. Allah is giving you 12 months of the year, every second of your life. So this is why it's very, very important. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ahabbul a'mali ila Allah al-hal wal-murtahil." He said, "The most beloved action to Allah is the one that is followed up by another action." You are not a seasonal Muslim. For example, we are told when you make khatam of the Quran, don't read Surah Nas, carry on, start the next Quran. This is what is al-hal al-murtahil. Adwamuha, it comes in hadith, that amal in which there is istiqamat, perseverance, that which is becomes a part of your life, that is beloved to Allah. Islam does not advocate seasonal worship. Islam, all the time we should be striving for Jannat. There should be istiqamat, perseverance in our amal. So one great benefit which ulama mentioned, by perpetuating this great sunnah of fasting. Ramadan, it is farz, but my Nabi, every Monday and Thursday, 13th, 14th and 15th of every month, Ayyam Abil, In Muharram he would fast, Shawwal he would fast, certain occasions he would increase the amount of fast, and so many fawaid and benefits. Some people, according to the riwayat of Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they will be sitting and having a party underneath the arsh of Allah. Party underneath the arsh of Allah. And on that banquet, on that dastarkhan, there will be things which no eye has seen, no ear has heard of. No one has even imagined. Other people's hisab will be taking place. So those people will complain to the malaika, how come they are exempt? While you were eating, they were fasting. Now today, while you give hisab, they will be feasting. This great benefit in perpetuating this amal of fasting throughout the year. So the starting point is to become a little bit hard on ourselves and try and keep the 6th fast of Shawwal. You don't have to keep it consecutively, although that will be easier, but any time in Shawwal, but try and keep, obviously eat day is prohibited from fasting. And if there are obligatory fasts upon us, then that has to take precedence. But over and above that, this is a sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we should try to implement and revive within us. Allah give us tawfiq, subhanallah.